Praise the Lord. Well, this evening we're back in our teaching again in Mountain Moving Faith. And last week what we were doing is looking into specific areas of walking into our Mountain Moving Faith. And we said Mountain Moving Faith is not a special kind of faith. It's just regular Bible faith is what Jesus talked about and just talked very normal to the disciples about. What it was to have faith and how to use faith to speak to things, but also in faith in the use in prayer. And so last week we were looking into an area where the application of faith really is dealing with the area of finances, but a revelation, and we won't be able to go back through it all, but a revelation that Jesus Christ gave specifically to Kenneth Hagin about finances, because he was having such difficulty in that area. And he had come out of an error where they were taught that you you were supposed to be poor. Poor was, you know, that was God's plan for man. You were humble if you were poor. And so he got so poor, man, he wanted some money. And he needed it because, I mean, things were very seriously wrong in his home. They didn't have adequate housing, adequate food, adequate clothing and things and stuff. And he understood faith for healing. He knew how to do that. And the Lord spoke to him about that. He said, you know how to use your faith for healing and things. He told him, but he said, you don't use your faith for finances. Well, he just said, he didn't even know you were supposed to be able to do that. He didn't know. Now just think about it. I mean, it's in the scriptures and the scripture talks it. And he went on for numbers of years teaching the subject. From when time he got that revelation, he began to preach and to teach on that revelation. Yet it was in the scriptures, but he hadn't seen it. And that's one thing about, you know, this is one thing that we need to be very careful about our beliefs. To make sure that your beliefs are scriptural. Because if they're not, there's things the Holy Spirit will never be able to reveal to you because you won't allow it to. You'll sit and read the Bible and He'll never be able to show it to you because when you read it, you'll see those things in the light of what you believe rather than what's true. See, Brother Hagin was sitting along and reading. He'd read the Bible and he said to the Lord when the Lord revealed to him about spiritual authority and dealing with demons. And he said, the Lord said to him, he said it was, you know, about being scripturally true. And he said, Lord, I've read through the New Testament 150 times or more. And he said, in some, you know, some parts more. And he said, if that's in there, I don't know it. And he said, Jesus smiled at him and said, there's a lot of things you don't know that are in there. But understand this. He read through the New Testament up to that time 150 times, but had in some parts more. And yet those scriptures that were in there, he never saw. Why? Because he always read according to his belief. See, I don't care what something says. If you believe it says something, you'll read it even though it don't say that. I've done that already. I've done that already, reading through the scriptures and reading them. You guys have heard me say numbers of times along when the Lord spoke to me back a number of years ago and said to me, why do you believe what you believe? And when he did, I knew exactly what he wanted me to do. He started wanting me to go back over the foundations of the Bible, of what I believe. And I got reading back through the Bible, and I got embarrassed almost at things and thinking, well, my words. They preach this certain stuff, and the Bible don't even ever say it. Everybody believes it. And the Scripture, if you read the words that are actually in the Bible, does not say what many people say the Bible says. And it don't say it. But people believe it does, so when people read the Bible, they just, you know, and that's, you know, we just go over things. We have an idea that something says a certain things, and we believe it says it, and we read through the scriptures, and that's why we have to be very, very careful. It's one of the things that when I went to Bible school, I did this. Now, I had been a very faithful student of the Word before I went to Bible school. I mean, I had done tons and tons of study. I had studied most of Brother Hagin's books that he had. I had probably most every tape that he ever put out on the market that were being sold regularly through Rhema. And I had all them, and I would sit down and I'd take my Bible and he'd teach and I'd go through the Bible with him I'd listen to the tapes and I'd study the stuff that he'd say and I'd do all those things. But when I went to Bible school, I made a decision. I said, God wouldn't have sent me here if I knew everything I needed to know. And see, I saw there were students. There were students who had arrived at Bible school, and they already thought they were smart. And you know what? They left just like they were when they got there. Some of them never got a thing. Some of them left worse off than what they were. because of their arrogance. And I went and I said this. I said, God, Lord, you're sending me to Bible school. I'm going to consider that I don't know anything. And I'm going to listen like I need to be taught everything. And I took notes like I had never heard any of these subjects ever taught. I would sit some of Brother Hagin's books. He would teach basically right from his books, some of his books. Well, I mean, hey, they were good enough. Why invent something else? They were good. And he'd come in and his notes would just be his book. He'd open his book and he'd teach from his book. But I tell you what, I took notes on those books. I could have probably quoted some of them books. I had read them so many times, but I took notes like I never heard them. I would take notes on those things and just listen. And it was amazing how many things I found out I didn't know that was in those things I'd already heard. And you'd go back, it's like, oh my word, I never saw it that way before. Well, he taught it that way. It was in the book. But I saw it there. But, and that's why we always, you know, we always need to learn. And we can always learn something new. And you know what? If you already do know something, if it's the truth, it's always good to hear it again. I've never heard the truth taught that I didn't like to hear it. I don't know about you, but I just, when it's the truth, it's the Word of God and it's life. And so Kenneth Hagin had a revelation on the areas of finances. And it was totally different than anything that he had ever heard talked about concerning finances. And we were talking about what the things the Spirit of the Lord had spoke to him about doing. Then the Lord had spoke to him and told him not to pray about finances the way that he had been doing. And what he had been doing before is not to do that anymore. And told him what to do about money. Because what they would do is they'd pray and ask God to give them money. You know, and I've heard over the years and teaching when I came in, well, you know, God will send money from heaven. No, he won't. There ain't no money coming from heaven. No money comes from heaven. It don't come from there. As the Lord Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin in a vision, he told him, he said, if I sent money from heaven, it would be counterfeit. He said, I'm not a counterfeiter. He doesn't do that. So we have to know, well, as one of the things is finding the revelation. I've listened very closely on the revelations that Kenneth E. Hagin had gotten. Now, his book, I Believe in Visions, doesn't have all the visions in it, the different ones that he's had. There's other revelations. There's also visitations that he had from Jesus that he never told anybody ever what was said or what Jesus said. It had to do with him personally, and he never talked about it. I mean, I was in a meeting where Brother Hagin was standing on stage in the old Rucker Memorial Auditorium at Rhema, and he was up there preaching, all of a sudden stopped, and he said, well, there stands Jesus. And he said, can you see him? He said, he's right there. And then he said, he wants to talk to me, but he said, this he wants to talk to me, this ain't about you. And he turned around and started talking to Jesus in tongues, and he stood there a while, and they talked back and forth to each other. And then Jesus left, and he went back over and started preaching. Never did tell anybody what that was. He didn't ever tell anybody what it was about or anything. Never said nothing. Just went on doing it. Brother Hagin had more visitations by Jesus from Jesus Christ than any person or anybody that I've ever heard of or anyone's being around. But specifically, the ones that he ever made anything over was revelations that he got concerning Scripture. And one of the things was amazing is how many times in Revelations that he got from the Lord Jesus that really the revelation, Jesus didn't come and give him something that he knew something about, really telling him what he didn't know about either. But it was always turned out to be scriptural. I know I was at one of the prayer seminars that Brother Hagin would have in his spring prayer seminars back years ago, and I was attending. In fact, Winter Bible Seminar, the Winter Bible Seminar was usually in February. It was lots of times about prayer, and so as going to one of those, I remember him teaching on prayer and all. The one he came up and he preached, he had the Lord dealt with him about, talked to him about it, and he had written a book, one of his books of on intercession, and. He changed the title to that. It was on intercession, but he changed the title of the book. He changed the title to from the art of intercession to the art of prayer. Because he said, well, the Lord gave him a revelation about some things. It was one of the things he's teaching in the book. It's he would always, if he didn't know something, and God gave him a revelation, he would change and he would tell people, look, this is the way I preached it before, but this is what, you know, we found out. Well, the Lord had taken him through concerning praying, and the Lord told him, and said this to him. He said, and this is one thing as we need to know about intercession. We deal with Jesus, and people say Jesus always lives and he's always making intercession for us, and we deal from the areas of prayer, and that's not what it's talking about. That's not what the scripture is. Jesus ain't sitting around interceding for us. The Lord Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin, you don't intercede for a Christian. There's no it's not necessary to intercede for a Christian. Because why? A Christian has a covenant with God. Intercession is when we pray for an individual who doesn't have a covenant. Intercession is when you take the place of somebody else. You don't need to take a place of a Christian. A Christian automatically has a covenant with God, and you plead the covenant of God concerning them. Now, when we intercede for a sinner, you have to intercede because you can't stand just on covenant. I mean, you're just pleading a case to God to, you know, have mercy, O Lord, and, really from your behalf, not from their. You want to get something from theirs, but they really don't have a covenant. And there's one thing, is that really changed me concerning prayer and praying for Christians. I never pray. It's just like you'll hear me many times when I lay, even if I'm going to pray over somebody for healing, when I lay hands on a Christian, I always declare that they have a covenant with God. I don't have to intercede with them for healing. They have a covenant. And we're standing on the covenant that they have. And that's what we're believing, on the covenant that they got. Now, a sinner, that could be a totally different thing. But and so there was a revelation that he got concerning that, that we don't intercede. And the Lord told him, he said concerning, took him to scriptures where it talks about prayers, intercession. He said, talks about supplication. He said, in a sense, we supplicate, or see, our prayers for the saint is done before God based on the covenant that we have and the rights for the things that they have because they're a child of God. So they have rights. And so we pray on that behalf concerning them. And when God gives these revelations, he was always quick to make the changes. And because he said people got over, and he made mention then about prayer meetings where the Lord had talked about to him about it. And he said there's no such thing as an intercessory prayer meeting. Well, do you know why? Because intercession ain't the only type of prayer. There's loads of things you couldn't even pray about in intercession. You don't have to intercede about it. There's different kinds of prayers. And when you pray the prayer of faith, in other words, we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're not going to pray any prayers of faith. We're just going to pray intercession. See, the church got all balanced. In the 90s, they started that intercession stuff and it got weird. And it was people who didn't know what was going on, started all this nonsense. And this is how the church ended up where it did today, because of all the squirrely praying and weird things that they did that were demonic, that opened the door to a lot of junk in the spirit. Opened a lot of junk up to the church because people got weird over in the areas about intercession. You know, Paul said you pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He didn't say pray with one kind of prayer and it's all you need. We made people that were so, well, this person's an intercessor. Well, a person may be used in that area, maybe some are more than others, but they aren't specifically an intercessor. There's nobody that just intercedes as prayer. You need to use, I'm going to tell you what, God wouldn't have all different kinds of prayer and you only, and one person would only ever use one kind. Well, if you're only ever using the prayer of intercession, then there's things you'll never receive by faith. Well, I ain't going to go there. There's things I want to get. How about you? So there's prayer that you want to use. And so there's a lot of squirrely stuff that goes on. And that's why I was getting these revelations that God brings. And the revelation that was brought here was when the Lord told Kenneth Hagin specifically what to do. And he told him to claim whatever he needed in the name of Jesus. In other words, financially, what he needed, he was supposed to claim it. And he went on through where he told him that, you know, here in this earth, he said, the money you need and the things that you need are right here in this earth. They're here. They're already here. And so he said that you claim what you need. And so really from Sundays, what we're teaching on the areas of authority have a lot to do with this, because this claiming stuff has a lot to do with your authority. Do you believe you have the right to claim it? See, some people, they don't. They don't believe, oh, you don't have the right to do that. You know, you just asked if God will give it. If it's his will, he wants to, he'll give it to you. And if it's not, he won't. Well, but we found he claimed it. And he told them to do it, what we're supposed to do that in his name. He said, you're supposed to tell Satan to get his hands off of your money or whatever it is that you want, to get his hands off of it. Because he said he's the God of this world. He's the one that's trying to stop you from being blessed. Always remember this. God is never opposition. I've heard so many Christians over the years talk like God is holding things back for them for a reason. And when they say that, I know this. They are out of the will of God. They're not in faith. How could I believe I receive it and God's holding it away from me? If He's holding it from me, then I can't receive it. I can't believe I receive it and He won't give it. That can't happen. And so we have to change that. Satan is the one who is trying to keep the things that belong to the church away from us. And he said, so we're supposed to tell Satan directly to get his hands off our money. He told us then to tell the ministering spirits to go. And they're supposed to go and cause that money or whatever it is that we need. You wouldn't have to do just money. This could do it in numbers of different things. To come to you, whatever you are believing for, that item come to you. You know, you can believe for things in different ways and have it come in different ways. I mean, I've believed God already for money for certain things and got it, but I believed God for money for cars and had cars given. Maude and I have even had cars given to us we've never even believed for. We've had them given to us. We've had stuff given to us we haven't believed specifically for. But there's one thing we've known is to have sometimes to believe for, I'll just believe for a specific item to come and not specific for the money for it. And the item comes. It shows up. And so, you know, God can talk to people about the item that you want, whatever it might be, and they can hear about it years ago. You know, I wanted a television and I would believe for a certain kind of television I wanted. It was a Sony Trinitron television. At that time was the TV. That was the good one. And I believed for one. And a guy come up to me one day, the clear blue at work when I worked at Reese's, and said, God spoke to me and told me I was supposed to buy you a television. And told me what he said. It was a television. I said, so God can talk to people. God can talk to people about it. And that's where getting over this thing. When I found out how to do this with Kenneth Hagin gave the revelation, that shortened a lot of things. I'll tell you what, got it right down there where the rubber hits the road. Easy to do. Get this thing working and running. So walking in line with that. Now we're going to talk about some areas of prosperity because God, dealing with God's will. One of the things that I found over the years is dealing with the areas when it comes to prospering and doing well in life. Number one, religion can really be a huge hindrance. If you've received certain things as being true that are taught about money and stuff, of, you know, like God, you know, don't want you to have too much, and God don't want you to have, you're always going to find it's going to be hard for you to get over into the areas of trusting God. And what really people need is to renew their mind about money and the thinking about money and the thinking about prospering. Lots of times people don't realize their own thoughts and the way they thought and similar. The way you think is going to lead to what you act and do. It's going to lead to it. I don't care. You can't have thoughts, you know, negative thoughts in an area and it leads you to something good. It's don't happen that way. And we need to know is to change the way we think about it. You know, over the years, I have read more than one study that was been done. The difference between people with wealth and people who don't have wealth. And they found this out, that people who have wealth, you can take all their money away from them, and most of them will all gain wealth back again because they believe they're supposed to be wealthy. And you know what? They don't change. Do you ever notice something about rich people? They go bankrupt, and they'll still live like they're rich. And they'll still act like they're rich, and the next thing you know, they'll have money again. They think they're supposed to. See, you're minded thinking about, see, they think that things will come to them. See, Christians are supposed to believe that things will come to them, but think they won't. Their mind is set, well, maybe God don't want me to have so much. Maybe God don't, and you'll think along that. You have to change the way you think about having things and things coming to you. You have to change. You know, rich people don't get all excited about the economic ups and downs. They don't get like people. But man, everybody gets all, you know, worked up and all worried about this and that and the other thing. And they don't. They generally don't get like other people do about it. It's the way they're thinking about wealth, what they think about wealth. See, the people that wondering if they're supposed to have it or if they have, they're trying to hang on to it. They're trying to do this. Their whole thinking is what keeps them from really prospering. and being able to prosper. And we have in the 3 John, where we come into the scripture in 3 John, the first chapter, in 3 John, the first chapter, and I want you to think about this. This is the Apostle John. This guy was the disciple of Jesus. We would call him one of the guys in the inner circle. He was a guy at the different times that Jesus would take Peter, James, and John with him, and the other disciples couldn't go along. And this when they went up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, they went along. When they went with a woman of issue of blood, Jairus was the guy at the temple. They took those guys along with him when they raised his daughter, Jairus' daughter from the dead. They were along. But these guys, so we call them the inner circle. So John was big on, in fact, if we read First John, you find out John makes a big deal over the fact that he walked with Jesus and with Jesus, and what he's teaching is what Jesus taught. Now, John's going to say something here, and this is John speaking, who walked with Jesus himself, and he makes this statement in 3 John, the first chapter, verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, he wrote here to Gaius, in the first verse, it was "Beloved Gaius." He said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things," prosper in everything, not in some stuff. "I pray that you prosper in everything and that you be in health." Why would he be praying? Did God just have this Gaius guy? He wanted him to have something. He wanted him to have the health and the rest of you be sick. John, his whole teaching thing, that 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, is the idea that he's revealing to people he walked with Jesus. And he's teaching people what Jesus taught. And so he says here that to prosper in all things and to be in health, just as your soul, now your soul is not your spirit, your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. He said prosper, being in health, just like your soul prospers. And we need to understand this. In your mind, will, and emotions, you have to get to the point where you bring them to the place where your mind, if your mind can't prosper, if your will and if your soul is messed up, it's going to affect everything about you. You know, we have a society today. I mean, back here about a year or so ago, I got a thing, it was a publication was put out, and they had like women 45 to something like 55 years old. 40% are in that age group are on some kind of medication for emotional problems. Well, we know this, then 45% of them, soul ain't prospering in that age group. Their soul is messed up. Emotionally, they're messed up. Well, you can't be in that and prosper. You're not going to prosper in things. And definitely, you're going to have health problems. You're going to have them. And it's dealing the areas with the prosperity of the soul. This goes back a number of years, but I was reading after some doctors talking about people in hospitals. And about people being in the hospital. And a guy, this doctor... these doctors had done a study in hospitals and said, and made this, and made mention, and it just blew my mind. They said 70% of people in the hospital being treated and even operated on, 70% of their ailments come from psychosomatic problems. In other words, what they believed, the things that they believed and their emotional condition and everything else had a lot to do why their body was messed up. Things weren't working right. You know, they've already, you know, things are dealing with people with cancer from a cancer standpoint. Doctors have, they've done studies and found out people whose soul area, their mind, will, and emotions are stable, medications work much better for them than people who are not. The same medication that will help people and treat a person and help them won't help some people because of their soul condition. See, when people don't think right, you know, listen to people turn around, doctor, they go to the doctor. Doctor gives them medication. All they do is complain about the medication they got, and they're sitting there talking, complaining the whole time. Well, this don't seem that, this don't do nothing for me. This ain't something for me. That's what. Well, then what on earth are you taking it for? Shut up and sit down. Dear Lord, why'd you go pay the doctor? If you knew more than him, then, well, what were you doing? But they'll talk against, and they get themselves over in this mental state, and nothing works for them. And nothing works. And Apostle John is telling us here, the desire of God is that we prosper, that we're in health, but it is concerning our soul prosperity. Now, the King James says in that same scripture, and sometimes we read it in different ones, it might help us. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." The Amplified says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." Well, one of the things that the foundation of this is the prosperity of the mind, will, and emotion of a person's mind. If your mind can prosper, I'll tell you what, you'll prosper. If your mind can get thinking right about health, I'll tell you what, your body will come in line with health. And the Bible even says it. We'll talk about that. But it's getting ourselves over to where we begin to think right in an area. Now, I was born and raised in a church group, and boy, you let anybody start prospering or having something really nice, they didn't like that. You know, they didn't like that too much. I'll never forget. I had an uncle that went to the church we were at, and I remember he bought a Packard, and that was, boy, the car of the time back in the 50s. The Packard was, over the Cadillac and all them things. And he bought a Packard. Well, my words, sure enough, he's going to hell. You can't drive a Packard and go to heaven. you could have to drive maybe a Plymouth or something and get there. But you, it's got to have to be a Ford or Chevy, probably. And you might get there. And don't have white walls on it. For sure you'll go to hell with white walls. White walls are, everybody has white walls at that time. It was a mess. But people believe those. But there, John is speaking here of two things. He's talking about prospering. And when you were talking about prospering here, in other words, the things that he does, whether the things that he needs financially or whatever he does, that it works out on your behalf. In other words, you prosper in the things that you do. You want to be able to be, just like being on your job. You want to be good at your job. You want to be, no matter what you do, you want to be good at it. You want to prosper in it. There's nothing worse than wasting your time doing things that don't work out. You ever think the times that we went in our lives working at things that didn't work out, when we, you get done with it, you think, why did I ever even bother this? I knew better before. I should have left this alone a long time ago. Should have gotten somebody else. It probably saved me money, too. You ever been there? Well, we all get there in those places. But, it's using it, having the wisdom, and that's what you want to have. Prosper in whatever you do. And, there's some people do better things than other people. I found out over the years, sometimes get those people that could do things better than me, get them to do it. in those areas. But the key to the prosperity is the soul prosperity. He said he wanted them prosper. As his soul was prospering, he said, I wanted that soul prosperity to manifest over here into whatever you're doing and in your body. So, really, as we develop in the Word of God, it should lead us over to where in life, it causes us to prosper at the things that we do, and it also prospers in the health in our body. True spirituality will lead to better health. This is one thing, as I know. You get around churches and that stuff, they talk about spirituality and everybody's sick. You know that they don't have spirituality. People don't have spirituality because true spirituality will lead you to better health. It'll lead you to better health. But see, like I went to church as a kid, the whole church, I mean, they didn't believe God wanted there. If anybody got well, they were surprised. They would have, somebody get sick and they'd make a prayer request for somebody sick. They no more believe God was going to heal them. They were just, maybe they get by. Maybe God won't kill them this time, And, he might need them in heaven. You never know. And we don't want to have to hold them back here. He might want them, and we don't want to go against his will when he wants them dead. And so they got thinking, but reaching over into this area of the prosperity of one's soul. Now, in Romans, the 12th chapter, we have there, in it, which is a really a wonderful scripture, where Apostle Paul wrote on this subject about dealing in the areas of the renewing of our mind, changing the way that we think. This is what we want to do. We want to change the way that we think about stuff. That was one of the biggest things that I found out with myself, is dealing with areas and things of trying to change is come up to spiritual development. And I found out that many times the way I thought about things hampered my spiritual development, of thinking wrong about stuff and getting myself thinking over. You know, even though I got born again and I wasn't in church or nothing like that, I wasn't involved in church for many years. I had left all that when I was just in my early teens. I had got away from the church. I didn't want to have anything else to do with that. It was probably one of the best things I ever did in my life, was to leave that. But religious things that I was taught still had effect on me, because they affected the way I thought about things. And I found out that as I went along, how they were affecting me and the way that I thought about stuff. And I had to get over those things. And what most people do is they hear some teaching from the Word of God, like in this area of prosperity. But, you know, they'll, oh, that's really good to hear and I want that. But they never throw out the old teaching that they had. And they just mix the two together and never get anywhere. And the whole time they're believing God wants them to prosper, but their soul really has never gotten over the fact of what their old teaching was. And they still feel guilty if they do very well. And you can't have that. It'll never work. It'll never work doing that. So, in Romans, the 12th chapter, in starting in verse 1, it says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. So we're supposed to present our bodies, tells us something we're supposed to do. Present our bodies to God. In other words, we don't let our body do everything it wants to do. If we do, you can forget the next verse, because it'll never help you at all. He said, present your bodies, and then he says, well, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a transformation that must take place, and that takes place through the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind. Changing the way you think. That was the greatest obstacle to me in things and areas where I would find that I had accepted things as being true that were not true concerning God. And getting myself over to believe what was true and throw out the religious junk that I had been told. And changing the way you think about things. You know, and the areas, I mean, I was born and raised in a church. I mean, you're raised around this stuff. You know, you're not supposed to, if you follow God, you're not going to have too much. Look at poor old Jesus. He said he didn't even have a horse to lay his head, didn't have a bed to put his head on. Oh my, that's where, you know, we shouldn't have no more than that. We're lucky we have, you know, we should be like Jesus. They wanted to be everything like that they heard, all that nonsense. And at the same time, oh, Jesus said, do the works that he does. No, we don't do that. it was all messed up. But you had all those things that were taught, and they were told to people. And so we had a difficult time. You're having to get over this stuff and these ways of thinking about this, you know. I'll never forget when I got the revelation that Jesus had a robe on that the Roman soldiers actually gambled to get. And I thought, dear Lord, ain't nobody in the church I was ever involved in, nobody gamble or give a nickel for the clothes they wore. Nobody wanted them. The world would never have wanted their clothing. They'd have never put it on. I said, this guy got clothes they'll gamble over. I said, oh, hold it. That had to be worth some bucks. It had to be something good. So he was walking around dressed good. Jesus wasn't dressed like a bum. He wasn't dressed like a bum. Oh, they have him out here, you know, oh, this poor guy. My words. He told Peter to get down the lake. cast a line in and pull out a fish. There's a gold coin in there. Go and take that gold coin. Go. I mean, a guy that knows what the gold coins are, he ain't going to be poor. He ain't going to miss lunch. Let's is a whole thinking about it. When we look at the Jesus and his ministry and Jesus, just think of Jesus had a group of disciples and they had a treasurer. They had a treasurer. Poor people don't need no treasurer. Why would you have a treasurer when you didn't have no money? What? They had so much money that the Bible tells us that Judas was a thief, he was stealing. And they still had enough money to do what they needed to do. And Judas was stealing. Sound like they must have had some money. People with good sense don't steal a treasure. If a guy was a treasure over a little bit, you wouldn't want to steal too much of it because it's too easy to get caught. There ain't hardly anything there. You steal where there's a lot because then nobody will notice that gone. You don't steal when there's just that tiny bit. They'll notice right away. And they had a treasurer. My words. And his name was Judas. Jesus intentionally let the crook handle the money. Those poor guys, no wonder they didn't have nothing. Poor Jesus wasn't bright either, my God. His soul didn't prosper. But changing the way that we think is changing the way that we think about things. The way we view things. As I went on, I began to look at the scriptures and what the scripture did. The word began to transform the way that I thought about things. A little over a year ago when the Lord began to speak to me, he took me to another level in this area concerning finances and believing and that and how I view and how I think about the stuff or how sometimes we don't think. I realized that when he dealt with me on the areas of finances, he talked to me about need. He said, "What is your need?" Well, the word tells us that God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you even know what your need is? If you don't know what your need is, how far are you supposed to go? You can only go as far as you believe you need and how your soul will allow you to what you need. There's some people, they could go no further than a used car. They can't ever go further than a used car. They can never go further than that. They think, I have friends of mine that I know, good people like them and everything else, but they think the wisdom is a used car. I would never spend the money, cost too much on a new car. But see, they don't understand this, that does limit them. Because they look that you can't afford to have them. If I buy the new car, I won't have money to do others. They don't realize that limits them in any area of thinking. Because they'll look at what God wants to do and says some minister needs $2 million to complete a project. And they'll say, that's too much money. He don't need that much money. It will affect the way that they think. And see, when I realized that I was limited, the Lord showed me I was limited by the fact that I didn't know exactly what my need was. And so he showed me, and you need to understand this. Not everybody may have within themselves the need that I had. I had put a need in me. Because there was a scripture I had talked about and meditated and said many times. And I had said, and it got into me. And that, with Paul talking to the church at Corinth about their offering, their giving. But he said, he was speaking about having, you have enough that you can give to every good work. And I've said many, many times, boy, man, I want to be able to give. That was in me to do that. And the Lord spoke to me concerning that. And he said, your need is to be able to give to every good work. Wow, that's what's in you. See, that's what's in. Now, you understand, if somebody don't have that in them, that ain't their need. They can turn around and claim whatever they want, but they may not get a thing because it's what you got on the inside. How far you can go on the inside. How far can I believe? You might want a 747 to fly around and a pilot to haul you around places. But inside of you, your need is to, a used car. You're going to have a used car. I don't care if you want the jet. You're going to have the used. It's what got in you. And the Lord showed me. He said, it's in you to have enough to give for every good work. He said, that's your need. Now, anybody can get that need in them, but you got to put it in you. I was putting that in me, and the Lord had to show me, well, with me, there were certain things that weren't clicking concerning taking me to the next level, and it's because I wasn't hooking up with what was inside of me. My mind had not had it dawn on my mind yet what was in my spirit, and the Lord put on my mind what was in my heart. And when He said that to me, I said, well, that's exactly right. That's what I believe on the inside of me. But I wasn't paying attention to what was in the inside of me. I was hooked on what was on my mind. Wrong thought. What was on my mind was a wrong thought. So I was thinking on a lower level than what was in me. Well, as soon as I moved over the level to have enough to good every good work, well, my words, I could start believing for more money easily. I could start moving easily with that mind change. That mind change changed everything. And understand, that's you need to have that. It gets on whatever's going on and you got in the inside of you. I don't care how much it's in you. If it don't get into your mind will stop what's ever in your spirit from coming to pass. It will never come to pass. It'll be a hard time getting it past your mind because you'll have that block all the time. You'll be talking to God about what's on your mind. What you need to talk to God about is what's in your heart. That's what He wanted me to do. And He said to me about wanting to give to every good work. And He said this to me. To do that, He said, you need millions. And He said, I want you to have millions. Why? To fulfill what's in my heart. He wants to see. Now understand this. You know God wants to fulfill the desires of your heart? You know He does? He wants to fulfill them? Well, He can't till we get thinking right too. We got to get thinking in line with it, with what's on the inside. Many times people have things in them that is much greater than their believing and much greater than they think. But they can't bring them to pass because we walk in line with what we're thinking. And our thinking's on a lower level. And you see, that's the whole thing that the Lord had to deal with me in that, was I was thinking on a wrong level. I was like Kenneth Hagin. Over in the areas of, like with me, with giving, on the giving side, I was making plans on every year about how much Wanda and I talk about giving and what we wanted to do. And we would increase our giving, and we would sit down, and we had a systematic way of operating it. And the Lord said to me, when it comes to giving, you're systematic, but He goes to receive, and He said, you're not. You don't do it like that. In other words, just like Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin's over here in the areas, he understands how healing was working, but he wasn't using that same faith and bringing it over on the side for money and believing for money. Yet faith the same way would work over the other side the same way. But he's over here stuck on the healing side because his mind believes he ain't supposed to be rich. Yet he has within him the ability to take that same faith and bring it over in the area of finances and make it work. And the Lord gave him a revelation, changed his mind, and all of a sudden he started prospering. See, if you can't change the way you think, why? Because what happens, what we think about something, we need to get our thoughts on what's on the inside of us instead of the thoughts of what's on the outside. And that's what the Word of God will do. It'll start to put in you the thoughts of heaven. You want to see what's really in you. A lot of people, their problem isn't that they ain't believing enough. They ain't thinking right. They're not thinking on the level that's inside of them. See, I wasn't thinking on the level that was in me. I didn't have to gain faith and sit down and meditate on that scripture that, you know, about me being able to give to every good work. Why, that was already in me. It's been raring to go for a long time. For a long time, that had been raring to go. But I wasn't operating in it. Why? Because of the way I was thinking. I still hadn't figured out what my need was, how far I need to go. I didn't have it. And you know what? A lot of these preachers, they're talking to people like, you just keep giving more money, you'll get it. I'm sorry, I was giving more money and didn't get it because the Lord said this to me. He said, you don't receive at the level you give. Well, I know this. Lots of people don't. They don't receive at the level they give. Why? Their mind keeps them from doing it. And preachers keep saying, just keep giving more money, give more money, you'll get it. That's a lie. That is not the truth. If you can't get a person's soul lined up with what's on the inside of them, I don't care how much they give. They'll only go as far as their mind will let them. You only believe as far as your mind will let you. You'll believe as far as you think about it. That's why we've got to let the thoughts of the inside get up in us. The Lord really did not talk kindly about numbers of ministers and the way they're preaching, because he said they're taking advantage of my people. They're not helping people prosper. What the Lord taught me would help anybody prosper. It'll help anybody prosper, because God wants his people. When I read 3 John, the second verse, I mean, I know that that is written to every Christian. That's everyone. That ain't some of them he wants to prosper, and some of them he wants to be healthy, and the rest of them, good luck. No, I don't believe it's that way, because I know from what the Lord revealed to me and showed me, and then I proved it out, and it works. It works. This thing just doubting out works. This prosperity stuff works, but it's finding out about your need. It's really getting into the Word of God and letting God reveal to us from the Word of God what we really need. And then turning around and letting that start to get on our mind and get that thinking in a certain direction. That's why rich people didn't have a problem. See, they turn around and they've lived in all the other stuff. You know what? They think they need big cars. They think they need a big home. They think they need all this stuff. They think they need it. They don't think they shouldn't have it. They don't even have a thought that they shouldn't have it. I see, but you get people over in the area, well, you know, I don't really need anything that good. I don't really need this, or I don't really need, well, what did you go after it for to begin with? If you didn't really need it. See, people get over wrong thinking. And stay away from that wrong thinking. Now, one of the areas, because I want to talk about this, because giving has to do with our areas of receiving. Jesus Christ himself said so. Jesus said so. Jesus spoke about in the areas of giving and receiving. So we need to understand is following the principle. In the areas of giving, why it makes such a difference, and this is one of the things. The greatest thing that I found out in the areas about giving, and I found about this as a young Christian. When I lost the fear of giving, it helped me so much in life to not be afraid of not having enough. See, I was born in a family, you know, and we sure didn't have money. My parents, they went to a church and didn't believe it. Thank God there were some things changed for them in life as they went on, and they prospered a whole lot more, and their last days were definitely much better than their first. God blessed them in their life at the end, and I'll tell you what, my parents were, God had well taken care of for and stuff and things in life. But thinking wrong in these areas concerning about giving, this is one of the things a lot of people stumble in the areas of. And in Luke, the 6th chapter, in verse 38, very familiar scripture, but we need to understand that Jesus and Christ himself said this in scriptures. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Do you see that? It's measured back to us at the same measure that we give. He said, give, and it will be. You can't say a more powerful word than it will be. He said, give. In other words, and he said about this, at the measure that you give. Remember Apostle Paul's telling the church at Corinth, you know, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. In other words, you reap according to the measure. And this was one of the things that, you know, that I had to learn. You know, it's like myself. When I first started off, and I'll never forget, we started just tithing, you know, give 10% of your income away. I remember that was a big thing, man. I'll tell you what, that was, you know, that was like selling the house. it was a big thing. But, you know, now I look at it today. See, we started there, and we started there today. To me, tithing's nothing today. I'm serious. My tithe, I don't even think 2 seconds about it. I mean, that money's gone. I just give it and much beyond that, you know. Wanda and I gave a lot of money last year or something, you know. A lot of money. And I just don't even think about it anymore. I don't even think about tithing. I never even put one thought to it anymore. The tithe, my words. It ain't nothing to tithe. To me, it ain't nothing to do it. And it's been that way for years. I mean, it just ain't nothing to do it. I mean, it works. And see, it's getting, but when I started off, man, that was a huge one. That was a big one. And to me, it's so wonderful because you arrive at the place where you learn in this place of giving. I don't even think twice about giving. I mean, you just do it. Wanda just reminded me of things. She just said, hey, you know, we talked about giving such and such and such and such. And she said, you know, we didn't do that. So, yeah, well, I guess we just better go do that, you know. Reminded me. But, you know, it's the thing about, we talk about going to do it. Well, you just go do it. Now, I know a lot of people would stop and think, well, I don't know. Things are coming up. We got some bills coming in and this and that and the other thing. Those days are long gone. I don't even think like that anymore. No, this is what we're supposed to be given. Why? Because it's given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. People give into my bosom. They do it at the measure that I give. See, you can only receive back at the measure you give. See, when the Lord told me, he said, you don't receive at the level that you give. Then I knew my measuring out was bigger than what I was getting back. There's some people ain't in that category. They don't. Their measure out ain't. They can't. If they need a lot, they can't ask for it back because their measure going out small. You can't have a small measure going out. He said, give me something big back. He said, the measure that you do it. Now, Jesus said that. Now, I figure Jesus said it. There's no nobody can argue to me about it. They can say whatever they want on the subject. But Jesus said, we go by that measure. The Bible in basic English says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, crushed down, full and running over. They will give to you. For the same measure as you give, it will be given to you. The 20th century New Testament, give and others will give to you. A generous measure, pressed and shaken down and running over, will they pour into your lap. For the measure that you meet will be meted out to you in return. The Amplified Bible says, give, and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag? For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. And see, I learned over time is to being generous. Is being generous concerning giving. Is learning to do that. Because it's what it does to you, it breaks the fear of not having. That's what keeps people from receiving. Many people cannot get things because they're afraid they're not going to have enough. You can't have fear as the motivation of your wanting money because fear will not bring money in from God, can't bring it in. It will never happen. Faith is required. You can't have fear and faith. It won't work. And that was one of the things as I was always so glad of when the Lord taught me over the years in the areas of giving. Is one of the things he really taught me to release money. I had to. Because he knew in me, you know, when I was a sinner, I didn't give nobody no money. I didn't give nobody nothing. You know, how it worked. And he dealt with me on it. I mean, on a couple occasions where he had Wanda and I give every penny that we had away. Everyone. Money, all the money we had in the bank. He had us give everything away. You know? And you know what? One of the best things he ever did to us to do those things. Because it broke the fear of not having enough. Because he turned around in both those instances he had us do that. Money came in, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But if we hadn't done that, it wouldn't have happened. We would have been stuck with what we already had, which wasn't enough. When we went to Rhema, the Bible school, the Lord told us to go. And so we're moving our whole family. We're moving the whole house. We had rented a three-bedroom apartment. It was in a new complex. We decided we're going to go. We're not going to try to get something cheap. We're going to get something we need. We're going to use our faith. We learned over time about how to use faith. So we got ourselves a nice apartment. It's a nice three-bedroom apartment. And so we turn around and we put the deposit and the month's rent on that. But really, in the bank, that we had paid that. We didn't have any other money. I think we had like $500-some in the bank. So we had to move our furniture. And we was going to tell you, we're going to move all our furniture. We're going to move it from the house and move it out to Oklahoma. And plus, I'm going to have to be going to school, paying money to go to school. Going out there, don't have a job, leaving my job, don't have a job. You got $500. I said to Wanda, heard I were talking, I said, no, we got $500. And I said, what we're going to need to move, we need thousands. And I said, we need thousands, we got $500. I said, that's worthless. I said, we need to give it away. And she said, yeah, you're right. We need to, because if we keep it, I'll tell you this. I will guarantee you 90% of the people we went to church with, if we would have told them what we were doing, they thought we were idiots. Oh, we don't want to give it all away. Now, that's craziness. God would sure want you to use good sense. He told you to go out there. So we took the money and we gave it away. So we didn't have no money. So we went, we didn't even have the $500 anymore. That's gone. So we had like 3 weeks till we were timed to leaving to move out. We had no money for the move. we didn't have money for nothing. And a lady came to us and said, heard you going out there. And I said, how you moving? We said, well, we're going to have to get a truck. So she said, I'd like to pay for the truck and the gas. So she went and rented us this big truck and got the gas, paid money for the gas for the thing. And then people just started coming after we did that. And when we left, we had thousands of dollars. And we had the truck and we had everything. And we moved out. But it was all, we didn't hang on to that money. Now, go give that away. It isn't, you know. Wow, we needed to measure out something in an abundance. And what we did was in abundance. We did what the woman did who went in with the two copper pennies and put everything in that she had. And Jesus said she put more in than anybody. We put more in than anybody. That's what we did. We put in all we had. We put in all we had and it worked. Hallelujah. So when we moved out, we got there, we had plenty of money, and all the bills paid, everything's taken care of. We had money. Hallelujah. It was good. And but God blessed us, and just following the principles of God, just staying with the principles of God, following those things. See, the money and other things that we need, they're here in the earth. Now, think about it. Start getting your mind thought. What you need is already here. It's already here. It's already here. See, most people are not thinking like that. Where is what I need? How is God going? They start getting over it, saying, how is it going to get from there to me and all this? How is it going to? It's here. Whatever I need is right here. And the Lord Jesus told Kenneth Hagin how to get it to you. It's already here. It's yours. And he laid out a simple principle. You just claim what it is you need. Claim it. Tell Satan to get his hands off of whatever it is that you need. Tell the devil it don't belong to him. It's yours. You have the authority in the name of Jesus. Declare it. Send the angels out to go get it and bring it in for you. I've learned over the years of the influence of angels. Angels will influence people. We sure believe the devil can influence people. Well, so can angels. Loads of times on things, I tell angels to go influence people. Influence people on my behalf. You know, sometimes you're dealing with things that are people that are hard to deal with. I've done already and told the angels, I bind the devil that's operating through them and tell the angels to go and minister to them. And when it's time for you to go show up, they're a lot nicer than what they were. I've had that happen plenty of times. And dealing with people and situations and that stuff, sometimes you run into things and people, you're trying to get something done. And the devil's just there hindering things. It's learning to use our authority. So let's just follow in line with these things. Let's follow in line with the Word of God. And it's the area of giving. One of the things we have to do is give. And I just want to encourage in that area is let God work in you in the area where giving becomes a thing that you'll do. And it's a thing you look forward to rather than a dread that you have to do. And you got to do, I got to give so I can get something from God. You don't want to have that attitude because that's not what it's about. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, most people don't believe that. Because they're only thinking on the receiving side. One of the biggest blessings that I've ever had in my life is the fact that I like giving. It's the biggest blessing because that revolutionized my life more than receiving ever has. Because it took the fear out of me from being worrying about I'm not going to have enough or what I need, is it going to be here for me and that stuff. It got over the things of where I don't even think about that stuff anymore. I don't even think about it, You know how many times Wanda and I will sit down, and Wanda, she got, and I remember she, when we first started off, she when I told her we were going to tithe, it about choked her. She thought, where's this crazy man coming from? He's gonna, and, you know, it was one of those things. I mean, we hadn't been doing stuff like that and getting over there and doing getting in the areas of giving. But I tell you, when Wanda got a hold of it and she figured out how it works, I tell you, she's not hindered at all in the areas about, well, we're giving. Well, hey, well, you know, we need money. If we give, we're going to have some for this or that. Well, God will give it to us. Don't worry about it. No, you just go give that. You go give. You know, every time it works out. Every time it works out. Every time. We have never, never, ever, since we learned about how giving works, we have never missed a payment, never anything. It's always, I mean, we had times, man, it looked like it wasn't going to work. It always works. It always works. It always does. I remember how Wanda was just astounded when we first started off. She used to sit down and try to figure out bills and our giving and that stuff. She'd say, well, we're not going to have enough money for things. And at the end of the month, everything worked out. And she would say to me, I don't understand how this worked out. We shouldn't have had enough money. This shouldn't have worked. But we had enough. And I remember she used to do this all the time. When she found out it worked like that, it was like, then it all changed about thinking. Getting that thinking changed. And, you know, I'm not one to always be looking to, you know, what we have or what we need to the future on things, because I would have the tendency to get over and get too stuck on that. It's like, I don't want to get, Lord, you tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. Lots of times for me, what I don't see is best. Because too much seeing causes people to worry. They'll start worrying about stuff. And to me, it's like, nah, I don't need that. Too much looking at something, too much all the time is, and you don't want to just keep going over there and looking at things. Well, boy, what about this? What about that? Listen to what God's saying. Follow what's in the scriptures to do. And I'll tell you, God, the biggest thing is take fear out of your life. And that's what you want, is to not have fears, not be afraid of things. There's nothing worse than to live through life. And loads of people are doing it today. A large percentage of our population lives by fear. Always looking at they're not going to have enough, they're not going to be taken care of, or somebody ain't going to love them, or somebody ain't going to, that's something. They're fearing. There's fear driven about all kinds of things. It's just fear drives. And I'll tell you, to get away from that in life, because as long as that goes on, you can't have rest. You can pray all you want for God to give you rest, but as long as you worry, you can't have rest. Worry will never give you rest. I used to have to either drink or do drugs so I could sleep. Because I'll tell you, other than that, I needed to worry about the way I was heading. But that's why now I can just go lay my head down and go right off to sleep. I don't have to worry about nothing. Hallelujah. And that's what you want your life to be. And that's what this faith stuff's about, this prospering and being in health. Hallelujah. You come to the place you don't have to worry about your health. You don't have to worry about your wealth. Hallelujah. Do you realize how much, just in those two areas of people's lives, I mean, whew, my words, we could cut worry down in America, my words, by 75% just in money and in health. Hallelujah. And all the time God has said he wanted us to prosper in those areas. Prosper and be in health, and the church won't read the book. My. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for showing us these things and revealing these things to us. Thank you for teaching us these things, and you care so much for us to reveal them, that we can know them and understand them, Lord God, comprehend them, Father God, to do them. Lord God, to live in the graciousness of life that you've called us to. And we want to thank you, Father God. Father, there's not one of us here, and there was not one of them, anyone that will ever listen to this, Lord God, if they listen to this message. There's never, no one that doesn't need mind renewed in some way or another in some area of our lives. And we want to thank you, Lord God, that is your desire to renew our minds so we can think properly and think right, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we're not bound, Lord God, by our own thoughts and our own thinking, Lord God. That we can put on your thoughts and your ways, Lord God, thinking your thoughts and walking in your ways, Father God. Father, without any kind of fears or worries, and Lord God, you taking care of us. And we thank you, Father, for it. Thank you for the wonderful revelation that you gave Kenneth E. Hagin to give to us. Father, we appreciate that. And thank you, Father God, for your love for us to tell us these things so we can walk in that revelation, Lord God, and live in the blessing that you called us to. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.